2 Samuel chapter number 9. Find that. All right. Verse 1. Here we go. 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse 1. And David said, Is there yet any that is left of the house of Saul, that I may show him kindness for Jonathan's sake? Let's pray. Lord, thank you for this morning. Thank you for your word. Thank you for... Lord, I'm thankful for the example of love and kindness and grace and mercy that David showed towards the house of Jonathan. And Lord, it reminds us of you. And Lord, I pray that we would reflect on our salvation here this morning. Maybe more appreciative and a little deeper understanding of what it all is. Lord, again, that you'd be honored and glorified, that our heart would be closer knit to thee. And we pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Familiar maybe a story, maybe not. Maybe some preachers just stay away from the passage just because of the name itself. Say, what name is that? Well, we'll keep reading. In verse 2, and there was of the house of Saul a servant whose name was Ziba. No problem with Ziba. Ziba's easy. And when they had called him unto David, the king said unto him, art thou Ziba? And he said, thy servant is he. And the king said, is there not yet any of the house of Saul? As you remember, David and Saul did not necessarily get along well together. So what was the problem? Well, Saul had an incredible heart of jealousy against David. So how bad did it get? Tried to kill him multiple times. David had to run for his life. Saul dies, David becomes king. And David is reaching out to Saul's house to show kindness. I remember when I study in the New Testament, remember where Herod calls the wise men that come, the men, and he says, hey, if you find the Savior, let me know. I'd like to serve him too. Now, we know that that is not true, Andrew. He was looking to kill him. Is that what David was looking to do to the house of Saul? Hey, if there be any left of the house of Saul, why don't you bring him here? I'd like to show him some kindness. With a knife behind his back. No, that's not what David was doing. David very much wanted to show kindness unto Saul. We'll see why. And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son. And the Bible tells us about his son, which is lame on his feet. Saul had a son, his name was Jonathan. Jonathan and David, the Bible tells us, had one of those friendships that they just loved each other. Jonathan watched out for David. Jonathan recognized that David was God's anointed. And see, Jonathan was slated to take the next step as king, as his father. Saul was the king. And if Saul were to step down from the kingdom, the obvious choice would have been Jonathan, the man that could control a battle. We saw great faith, great strength in Jonathan, but God showed Jonathan that David was God's anointed. And there was no conflict there. In Jonathan's house, he had a son. His name was, as we read here, in verse 6, now when Mephibosheth, that was his name. What do we know about him? The Bible says that he was lame. Go back a couple pages, 2 Samuel chapter number 4. We're going to look at this passage with this one thought. God brings by our way unexpected mercy and grace. And that's what happens here. 2 Samuel chapter 4, look at verse 4. The Bible says, and Jonathan, Saul's son, had a son that was lame on his feet. He was, look at now, 5 years old when the tidings came of Saul and Jonathan out of Jezreel. Man, what a tough life. Since age 5, he'd not been able to walk like everybody else. His dad was a war hero. His grandfather was a war hero. For a young boy, that's all you would want to be, is a war hero. But Mephibosheth couldn't do that. No, he had what we would call lameness. Now, I've met some young people who are lame. That is not the equivalent. He couldn't walk, right? Couldn't walk. That's what we're talking about. In Matthew chapter 15, go there. Have you ever gotten sick before? Anybody? Amaris, you've been sick before? Are you currently sick now? Good. Okay. All right, boys, go sit down. She's fine. No. No. We have procedures if people are sick. No. We get sick and what happens? We get over sickness. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 4 that this young boy was lame and he was 5 years old. We fast forward a number of years. His father now is dead and this young man is still lame. Lame, being unable to walk, whatever it was, a problem with his muscles, a problem with his bones, whatever it was, you don't get over. It's not like a common cold where, all right, if I take some vitamin C and multivitamins, I'll get over that. Being lame is a permanent ailment. Look at Matthew chapter 15 and verse 29. And Jesus departed from thence and came nigh unto the Sea of Galilee and went up into the mountain and sat down there. And having great multitudes came unto him, having with them those that were lame. Look at the group it keeps. Blind, dumb, maimed, and many others. Cast them down at Jesus' feet and look at this. And he healed them. To overcome being lame, it would need a divine healing. This was his permanent ailment. You don't recover from being lame. So much so that some of the miracles that Christ participated in, he would heal them. He would heal them. A man lame from his youth, we read in other passages. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. And that's how we find this young man. In verse 3 it says, And Ziba said unto the king, Jonathan hath yet a son which is lame on his feet. If you're looking to assemble an army, if you're looking to assemble a great ruler, someone that is lame is not going to be that. Say, why? What's wrong with that? I'll tell you my impression of this passage, unless Mephibosheth is different than everybody else. He lacks greatly his self-confidence. He is very much aware of his inabilities. And to him, sure, God can use it. But to him, he looks at it as a shame. Can't even do what everybody else does. If you go to Romans chapter 3, familiar verses, but I'm going to try and make this point to you here today. In Romans chapter 3, the Bible says, For all have sinned, in verse 23, and come short of the glory of God. You know, very similar to this young man named Mephibosheth, who was lame from, a good number of young years, up until that day, he had a permanent ailment. A permanent illness, much like, sin is in our life. I can't go to the store and get a cure for sin. And the Bible tells me that we're all sinners. We kind of have a group, if you will, a congregation of Mephibosheths. Say, that's hard to say. Very hard to say. Mephibosheths. But that's us. Lame. Permanently. No vitamin C is going to cure sin. No great acts of physical development will cure sin. Can't go to Walmart and get a cure for sin. Look at Romans chapter 5. Look at verse 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for all that have sinned. You know, the Bible tells us that we're all sinners. We're all lame. We all have an ailment that we in ourselves cannot get rid of. And every single day we hobble around carrying that thing. Every single day we hobble around and try and make the best of it and do the best we can. But it greatly limits us. And that was Mephibosheth. David asks, he says, hey, is there anybody left in the house of Saul? And then Jonathan, who was his best friend, I think Jonathan's house, I think there's one son left. I think there's somebody over there. But the Bible says that he was an act of fallen. He was lame. Go back to 2 Samuel chapter number 9. There's videos out. I saw a video this past week, and there was a young man that started his freshman year in football and got hurt in a bad car accident. It was now his senior year. It was the final game of the season, and they brought this young man out to the scrimmage line. They were about 3 yards out. They got him out. They brought him out in one of those mechanical wheelchairs, fully in a uniform. And they pulled the wheelchair, it's one of those driving ones, right up to the right offside the quarterback, the team that he started with in his freshman year. And they called Hike, and they took the football, and they gave it to him. Two of his buddies helped him stand up out of the wheelchair, and he carried the ball, and they carried him over the scrimmage line. The other team just parted ways. The score was like 40-something to single digits. It wasn't going to make a difference. They're trying to make him... I'm watching this in tears, understand, right? Like, I mean, your heart just... overwhelmed by the kindness and graciousness, and you think of this young man, but I feel like so many times we're like that. Of we're in this situation and we're just trying to interact and go along as if there's no problem. Hey, we have a problem and it's sin. And we need a curing from that. In 2 Samuel chapter 9, as we go back there, number one, he was fallen. Number two, though, look at verse 4. It says, and the king said unto him, where is he? And Ziba said unto the king, behold, he is in the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, in a place called Lodabar. Found in Lodabar. What is Lodabar known for? It's a place where there's no pasture. There was no life. It was destitute. If there was a place that... well, it was similar to where Mephibosheth would live. That would be it. Number one, he was fallen. Number two, though, listen, because that's where we all start. We're all in a fallen state. All are sinners. But he was found. He was found. The Bible says not only was he fallen, but he was found. He was found in a place where there was no life. There was no pasture. Hey, you were dead in your sins without Christ. Dwelling in obscurity, hidden from King David. God found us out. He found us out. Go to Romans chapter 3. Look at this. This is great. Our kids sing a song, I Choose to Be a Christian, right? Have you ever heard them sing that song? I was taught the scriptures, right? We know that one, right? I am a Christian because I chose to be following Christ. I'm a Christian because one day at 10 years of age, I knelt in my room in Irondequoit and asked the Lord to save my soul from the penalty of sin. I'm saved not by accident, but by on purpose. And we have that free will. But there's another component to salvation, and I think sometimes we got to be careful that we not overlook this. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11. Mephibosheth is sitting in his house not looking for the king. The king came looking for him. Romans chapter 3 and verse 11, it says, "There is none that understandeth, there is none that seeketh after God." I'm sitting in my house, lame from my sin, all by myself, and the Savior came by my way and came looking for me. Yep. I wasn't looking for him. He initiated the relationship. Go to John chapter 6. Now, get it? When introduced, I took the offer. And John chapter 6 and verse 44, "No man can come to me except the Father which has sent me draw him." Mephibosheth was not outside the house of King David pounding on the door saying, "Let me in." It took King David to go look for Mephibosheth. And so it is in our life. God came looking for you. You didn't care a thing about the things of God until he came by. Put a person in the right spot. All of a sudden started working in circumstances in your life to ask yourself the question, is there more to this than just what I'm looking at? Is there eternity? And slowly or dramatically, depending on your story, God drew you to him. But it came to a point where I've got to decide. Is he who he says he is? Number one, Mephibosheth was fallen. But number two, he was found. Aren't you glad that God came by your way and found you? He could have left us lame in Lodabar. Because I have nothing to offer him. Mephibosheth has nothing to offer a king. He's living in a place. The land isn't even worth anything. He's got to be taken care of. Hey, this is a big commitment for King David. I come to the Lord and I have to tell the Lord, "Lord, I'm going to need everything because I got nothing." And sure enough, unexpected mercy and grace showed up at Mephibosheth's house. He was found. Look at verse, as we continue, 2 Samuel chapter number 9, verse 5. "Then King David sent and fetched him out of the house of Maker, the son of Amiel, from Lodabar." Now when Mephibosheth, the son of Jonathan, the son of Saul, was come unto David, he fell on his face and did reverence. What a great way to meet the king. Isn't that the right way to meet the king? Hey, in my approach to the Savior, what should have my response been? Drop to the ground and reverence the Lord. And that's exactly what Mephibosheth did. I'm not sure. I'm pretty sure I made this point. Mephibosheth is lame. If he drops to the ground, you know what he's going to need? Help getting up. Again, let's come to the Lord and allow him to pick us up. Allow him to heal our wounds. The Bible says as we continue, I love this. And David said, Mephibosheth, and he answered, Behold, thy servant. And David said unto him, Fear not, for I will surely show thee kindness. Look at now, for Jonathan, thy father's sake. He was favored. He found favor. And will restore thee all the land of Saul, thy father, and thou shalt eat bread at my table continually. Not only was he in a fallen state, number two, he was found out by the king. Number three, he found favor. The king showed him kindness. The Bible says, not of his works, but for someone else's sake, he was showing him kindness. For who? His father, Jonathan. Go to Ephesians chapter 2. I'm going to read 10 verses here, number 1, verse 1 through 10. Because it tells us the story of Mephibosheth. Not really, but it tells us our story. Ephesians chapter 2 and verse 1, And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. Where in time past ye walk according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, and the spirit of and the spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our conversation in times past. He says there, you're all lame. Times past in the lust of the flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, and were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. Next two words. But God. See, Mephibosheth was sitting at his house in Lodabar, no fertile land, alone, broken, but the king. You were dead in your trespasses and sins, destined to pay for them for all eternity. But God got involved. I know it was a small thing, but Wednesday night I came into church and there was a little gift bag and two new ties. You know what that was? That was unexpected kindness. So what was that? Someone just thinking about me? Man, it warmed my heart. Showing everybody. Look at this. Look at this. Look at this. This is great. It's two new ties. When we get in on the things of God, it's when God comes by our way, it is unexpected mercy and grace. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins and quickened, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Remember what it said there, David? David showed kindness not for Mephibosheth's sake, but for another. God came by our way, not for our sake, his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. On the behalf of his Son, I'll show you kindness. For by grace are you saved through faith. And that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. We see this lame man finding favor with the king. So it is as a sinner finding favor with God himself. Not for my sake, but for his Son's sake. kindness showed up. Mercy. There, it says this in verse 4, who is rich in mercy, exceeding riches of his grace. An abundance of mercy and grace showed up on our doorfront. And that was God himself. Mephibosheth was fallen. Mephibosheth was found. Mephibosheth was favored. But he was fearful. Look at 2 Samuel chapter 9. And rightfully so. The Bible says in verse 7, and David said unto him, fear not. Why do you have to tell him to not be afraid? Because the normal way of action is when the next king comes in, you kill the entire family of the other. Say, that seems a bit rough. They didn't want to be usurped. Mephibosheth was fearful because descendants of former kings were slain. You know, so it was in our life. Part of my life died the day I came to Christ. And now I walk in newness of life. When he came by, when I'm standing face to face or kneeling face to face with the God of heaven, I have much to be afraid of. Why? Because I've sinned against him. And he could justly send me for hell for all eternity. That's what I deserve. But that's not what God did. If you come to Christ as a sinner and you drop to the ground in reverence to him and admit that you are a sinner in need of a Savior, you know what he does? He shows us mercy. The very fact that he makes us the offer is grace. And not giving us the penalty for what we have done is mercy. I have every right to be fearful when I'm standing face to face with a holy, righteous God. That's why Mephibosheth was afraid, because he knew that David says one word and he's gone. But that's not what he did. No, he showed kindness to him. Number one, he was fallen. Number two, he was found. Number three, he was favored. Number four, he was fearful. And lastly, look at 2 Samuel chapter number 9 and verse 8. It says, and he bowed himself and said, what is thy servant that thou shouldest look? Just think about yourself for a second here. What is thy servant that thou shouldest look upon such a dead dog as I am? That's Mephibosheth talking to the king. He goes, I don't belong here. Then the king called to Ziba, Saul's servant, and said unto him, I have given unto thy master's son, look at now, all that pertained to Saul and to all his house. Is that not what God did for us? I'm not only going to allow you to sit at my table, I'm going to give you everything that for whose sake I am showing you kindness should receive. And as I looked in Ephesians chapter 2, it was based on the promises and blessings of his son, Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 1. It's almost too good to be true. Like, you ever fellowship with the Lord and go, I don't belong here. I'm just a dead dog. 2 Peter chapter 2. Nope, I'm sorry. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be the partakers of the divine nature, having escaped
the corruption that is in the world through lust. Hey, we no longer have to live in Lodabar. We can sit at the king's table and have the king's best based on the promises of God himself. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1. In verse 20. 2 Corinthians 1:20 says this. Now all the promises of God in him are yea. Isn't that good? God says, if I promised it, guaranteed it's coming true. So when he says, we'll exchange your sin and the penalty of sin for all my goodness, you know what? That's for sure. His promises are sure. You know what? David made a promise to Saul, or to Mephibosheth. He says, you're going to come and you're going to sit at my table and you're going to have the very best that I have. You're going to eat the king's meat. What a blessing. Do you know what I get to experience every single day? The goodness and blessings of God himself. Straight from the throne. The king provided abundantly. The Bible says in 2 Samuel chapter 9, I'll continue reading. If you have your hand there, go back there. Verse 10. Thou therefore, and thy sons, and thy servants, shall till the land for him, and shalt thou bring in the fruits, that thy master's son may have food to eat. But Mephibosheth, thy master's son, shall eat bread alway at my table. Now Ziba had 15 sons and 20 servants. Then said Ziba unto the king, according to all that my lord the king hath commanded his servant, so shall thy servant do. As for Mephibosheth, said the king, he shall eat at my table as one of the king's sons. I don't belong there. I'm lame. I'm a sinner. And he came and he looked for me, knocked on my door, brought a circumstance in my life, an event, and he just said, hey, not for your sake, but for the sake of Jesus Christ, I am going to show you kindness and love and unexpected mercy and grace. And I just feasted. Galatians chapter 4. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 1. Now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children, were in bondage under the elements of the world. That's us hobbling around. But when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that are under the law, that he might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Wherefore thou art no more a servant, but a son. And if a son, look at now, than an heir of God through Christ. I get all the blessings as if I'm Christ himself, the Son of God. That's exactly what King David said to Mephibosheth. All that your father's house should have inherited, I'm going to give you. Man, what a blessing. And it's not done yet. I live there every single day. But go to Revelation chapter 19. We're just going to look at this one quick thought. I love this. Revelation chapter 19.
There's even something to come looking forward to. We have Thanksgiving on the horizon. I'm already excited. Watched a video this week. This lady took this turkey and she put some potatoes in there. And then she took a 2-pound block of cheddar cheese and stuffed it in the turkey. In the turkey. And then she made these cheesy mashed potatoes. She put like hot fries and stuff on the outside. It looked a little weird, but it looked good at the end. That's coming. I don't know what your favorite Thanksgiving thing. Justin, what do you like at Thanksgiving? Cranberry sauce. I love cranberry sauce. I like that it has the canned ridges in it. I don't know. I like the fake stuff. Keep your grandma's homemade cranberry sauce recipe. Give me that thump thing. I like that. Revelation chapter 19. Let me tell you what's coming for the lame sinners. Let us be glad in verse 7 and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, for the fine linen is the righteousness of saints. And he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage supper of the Lamb. For he saith unto me, these are the true sayings of God, promised to the children of God. We have no reason to be at that table. But God says, I got something waiting for you that's going to last. And he makes this promise to Mephibosheth, as long as I'm king, you're sitting at my table. Hey, as long as he's king, we're sitting at the table. Now how long that lasts? For all eternity. We do not have the power to get to the king's table on ourselves. The Father sent the Holy Spirit of God to find us out of the household of Adam, that he might show us kindness for Jesus' sake. There was a man years and years ago, mid-1700s. His name was John Newton. John Newton lived an awful, wicked life. For 10 years, he was involved in the African slave trade. And then he came to Christ. It was written on his... tombstone. John Newton, clerk, once an infidel, a servant of slaves in Africa, was by the rich mercy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ preserved, restored, pardoned, and appointed to preach the faith he had long labored to destroy. Grace did not free him to serve no master, but a new master. John Newton says this, I am not what I might be. I am not what I ought to be. I am not what I wish to be. I am not what I hope to be. But I thank God But I thank God I am not what I once was. And I can say with the great apostle, by the grace of God, I am what I am. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 10. God's mercy and grace, I'm here to tell you, is overwhelming. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 10. But by the grace of God, I am what I am. And his grace, which was bestowed upon me, was not in vain. But I labored more abundantly than they all. Yet not I, but the grace of God, which was with me. John Newton went on to write, Amazing Grace, the song. Let's all stand this morning. In a moment, the music's going to play. Maybe you just want to come and thank the Lord. And He came by your way. He found you out, fallen, and yet showed favor. And you get to sit at a table and feast for all eternity. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your goodness. We thank You for Your grace. We thank You for Your mercy. So unexpected, so appreciated. Lord, we love You. Bless this time of invitation now. In Jesus' name, amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning?